Every so often, there's a heresy that comes back with a vengeance, which has never been totally eradicated. It's called dualism. I think that most people are aware that man has a material part, the body, as well as an immaterial part, the soul. The problem is how we understand the relationship between the two. For most of the Jews today, and certainly in Jesus' time, except for some of the Sadducees, man was body and soul, but the only way you were going to live on after death was in the memory of those who loved you. The dualist, whether he professes to be a Christian or not, looks at the body and soul of man and sees them as fundamentally two very separate and different things. Some Greek philosophers held the notion that the soul, because it was immaterial, could also be immortal. It could not die. This concept was readily adopted by the church as she struggled to understand how we could share in the resurrection of Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, was able to explain that man is not just material body plus immortal soul, as if they were two things that just existed alongside each other, but that man is an embodied soul. The dualists were always trying to pry the two apart, and St. Thomas showed their fundamental unity. If you are a dualist, of course, it doesn't really matter what you do with your body. The Manichaeans taught that all matter was evil, and as a result, they thought that marriage was evil too, but that it didn't really matter what you did with your body. So as you can imagine, they didn't have a very highly developed concept of sexual morality. Today, modern dualists have dropped the matter is evil bit, but kept the idea that whatever you do with your body is fine. It's the spirit that counts. It's like those people who say, well, you know, the important thing is what's in your heart. Have you ever heard that before? But then they refuse to actually admit that there are some actions which we do with our bodies which are of themselves evil. I don't know, like murdering others, for example, or adultery, those kind of things. The church's response to dualism in all of its forms has been to celebrate the fact that we are embodied souls. What we do with our souls matters, and what we do with our bodies matters. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies, just like all of material creation, can be sanctified, made holy by the action of the Spirit. The church reminds us that you are not just a body and a spirit, but an embodied soul, which is why at the end of time, our souls will be reunited with our bodies. If we're going to live on eternally, it can't be just part of us that lives on eternally, but the whole man, all of us, body and soul. Now, you know more than I that it's not fashionable today to talk about hell. Don't worry, this is not that sermon, okay? At best, it's kind of explained away vaguely as the state of the absence of God. While the church's teaching is not based on the lurid imagery of Dante, which has so formed Western civilization's idea of hell, she does teach that the damned suffer in hell, body and soul. Well, how can they not when we're both? Likewise, we can often reduce purgatory to merely a state of spiritual purification, like going to a high-end spa and having a scrubbing treatment that's mildly irritating and exhilarating all at the same time. Okay? Yet there are sensible pains in purgatory as well. The spiritual pain that we experience in purgatory, at the full realization of how our sins have offended God, will have its complement in the body as well, because we can't just separate the two like that. Of course, the point of the Christian religion is for us to not go to hell and hopefully bypass even purgatory, although I'll probably be turning the lights out in purgatory, but as long as I get to heaven, who cares, right? But I think that we're more likely to want to be good Christians less by having the hell scared into us than by being inspired by the vision of the blessed in heaven. When we really understand what heaven is like, we'd be crazy not to want to do everything to go there. So often, we tend to think of heaven as this kind of dreamy place in the skies. Kind of like those Snuggles commercials with stuffed animals floating on clouds like they've been on their happy pills, right? Only the stuffed animals are the people that we actually like. We even talk about heaven as a place of eternal rest, which is open to the misunderstanding that it's the most boring place imaginable. Like taking a really, really long nap. And then you wonder why people don't really particularly want to go there. But it is in heaven where man becomes most fully himself. He possesses the beatific vision. He is in eternal friendship with God. He rests in the knowledge that he has the fullness of life, but that's about where the rest part ends. Man is fully alive only in heaven. Everything you are, body and soul, will be present to God in its most perfect form. You will literally be the best you can be. It's all of this that we profess when we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body in the creed. It's also about as far removed from dualism as you can get. The children of this world act as if the man who dies with the most toys wins. At best, most people will say, "May his memory be eternal," knowing full well that within a generation or two, no one will probably know or care that you ever existed at all. This short-sighted, inaccurate view of what it means to be you can cause us to have serious tunnel vision. Our perspective is severely limited to what is right before our eyes. We can begin to live for the body at the expense of the soul, because it is more immediate to us. It is the loss of the reality of the future resurrection of the body and its reunion with the soul that has led to so many of the ills that plague our culture. The me generations, instant gratification, the worship of the body, exercise as a religion, foodies who make gastronomy into a ritual experience, total sexual lack of self-control. You're aware of all of these things that are part of our modern culture. And all these things have their roots in that dualism that refuses to believe that when the coffin lid is closed over our corpses and we're put 6 feet under, that moment is only the closing of a chapter in a story where the next chapter is our judgment at the feet of Christ, and the last chapter is the reunion of our bodies with our souls for all eternity. Now, of course, the skeptic will say, "I will keep my tunnel vision, thank you very much, okay, and deal with what I can see." This dogma of the Christian faith seems to be the one which, while it produces the greatest hope and highlights the dignity of man, it also seems the hardest one to grasp, and one which seems more like a logical conclusion from first principles than anything else. It can often seem more like a philosophical construct than a living reality. That is why the Catholic Church teaches that at the end of her earthly life, the Blessed Virgin Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. I mean, it was one thing for Jesus, who was God, to rise from the dead and ascend into heaven. If we believe Jesus is God, we're not entirely surprised by that fact, are we? It was another thing entirely for a mere mortal woman to be assumed into heaven, body and soul. The historical memory of that event, which was not recorded in the scriptures but has been present in the tradition since the earliest times, the historical memory of that event is so strong that the Assumption of Mary is the emblem and the foretaste of our future resurrection as well. The Assumption was something that was believed and celebrated liturgically from the beginning. There was no need to really talk about it all that much because it was just part of the Catholic fabric of faith. And in fact, it was only in 1950 that Pope Pius XII declared it as a dogma of the Church. And he only did it then, not because Catholics had somehow ceased to believe in it, but because the world was seized by another outbreak of dualism that we're still living through. The most prevalent sin of our time, if you will permit me an opinion, is that we have forgotten the resurrection of the body. And that has led to evils as various as the mass extermination of peoples and atheism. Pius XII wanted to remind us all that where Jesus went, we shall follow. Not because we're God, but because God loves us. So when you're tempted to have that tunnel vision and to look down from the heavens where Mary reigns as queen at the side of Christ the King, look back up to see someone not so different than you who enjoys eternal life and wants you to do so too.